Glory, glory, glory.
Well, I know we've been talking about, or last week at least, we talked about fresh starts, right? New year, fresh starts, new beginnings. We talked about how we don't have to wait until another new year to have a fresh beginning. His mercies are new every day. We can start over afresh and anew. If we fail today, we can start afresh tomorrow. If we fail tomorrow, we can start afresh the next day. His mercies are new each and every day. But in order to do that, I believe that we have to align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And that came out in that prayer just a minute ago. We need to align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean, align ourselves with the Holy Spirit? One, we need to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, we talk a lot about the name of Jesus, right? We talk a lot about our Father God and what He has done and how He put things in place and how He spoke Jesus into the earth through the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant even. We can see traces of Jesus all through the Old Covenant. We talk about those things. But do we talk about the Holy Spirit? And I'm not saying, I mean, we do here, certainly at Christian Growth Center, but in our regular everyday lives, I mean, when you are going about your everyday life, you know, we're talking about prayer being a priority. When you are in your prayer room, your prayer life, during your prayer time, what comes up more, the name of the Father, the God, the name of Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? Who are you? I mean, really? Why am I differentiating? Well, because he's a triune being. And so if he's a triune being, we have to give emphasis to each part of him. We can't overemphasize two parts and forget about the third part. Amen? Does that make sense? So we need to align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking every thought, every word, every decision that we make needs to line up, one, with the Word of God, but with what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Amen? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let me share this out of the Amplified Bible. What am I talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says this, and all of them ate. No, that's 1 Corinthians. I'm talking about eating too early, aren't I? Unless we're talking about eating the Word of God up, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk, we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Verse 5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Every thought, every word, every decision, we need to line up with the Word of God. We need to line up with what the Holy Spirit is talking about. And we'll get to that in just a little bit about the Holy Spirit. By realigning ourselves, what am I talking about? We need to filter every thought through the blood of Jesus. If you think about it, what does it say about Jesus when he ascended on high and sat down? It says the true tabernacle, right? I mean, the tabernacle Moses built. I wish I had an image of it. I've got a cool new book that has a lot of neat stuff in it. And I'm going to start hopefully introducing some of those images, because some of us can see things or when we picture things, you know, visualize things better with a picture. Is that what I'm trying? Picture's worth 1,000 words. I got too many words rolling around. I need a picture. See? what was I saying to begin with? The tabernacle. So the tabernacle is just a template, a foreshadowing of the true tabernacle in heaven. And it said that Jesus went and sprinkled his blood. You know, in the tabernacle of Moses, they had the altar where they sacrificed bulls and rams and sprinkled the blood, right, on the altar. Well, in the true tabernacle, it's Jesus' blood that is sprinkled on there. And so, listen, when God looks down at us, he looks through the blood of Jesus. That is how you can say you are righteous and you can stand before God as a righteous man or woman because of the blood of Jesus. And because he looks through that filtered blood, he sees you as perfect. He sees you as perfect. And that is why we can go boldly, boldly to the throne room of God. Boldly, because we are a son of God. Because we have aligned ourselves with God. Caleb's getting ready to go back to college, right? Well, he's in college now, and so he comes and visits us, you know, when he graces us every now and then. When he comes and visits, he can go right to the refrigerator, pull out whatever he wants, eat whatever he wants. Now, if I need something worked on in my house and I've got a laborer coming over to, say, fix my pipes, and does that laborer, is he given access to my house? Wouldn't that be weird if I hired someone to come fix my pipes and he comes and shows up and walks in with his muddy boots and opens up my refrigerator and just pulls out my leftover pizza from the night before and starts chowing? No, why? He's there to serve me. He is my servant at that point. He is my hired labor. But my son can come in, hadn't been home for 3 months, walk right in the door, probably not even say hi, and go right to the refrigerator and pull whatever he wants out because he is my son. He can go boldly to the refrigerator. We can go boldly to the throne room of God because we are sons and daughters of God by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So we need to align ourselves with that idea of being sons and daughters of God. And look, we need to, just like God filters his gaze through the blood of Jesus, if I could put it that way, we need to look at everything in our life through the blood of Jesus. Every situation, every circumstance, our thoughts, our words, our actions should be filtered through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, in our natural mind, that doesn't really make sense to us, right? I mean, and I've wrote some examples down of things that Peter did and witnessed. Well, he walked on the water with Jesus. We all know that, right? Y'all know that Peter walked on the water with Jesus. Peter watched Jesus feed the 5,000 and then the 4,000 plus women and children, right? That miracle from 2 fish and 7 loaves. He witnessed countless miraculous healings, right? In fact, it says that if they wrote them down, the world couldn't contain the volumes of the books of the things that Jesus did. Peter witnessed that. Unprecedented wisdom. He saw unprecedented wisdom in the life of Jesus. He saw Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Right? Didn't he witness that? Yet still, all these things, and those are just a few, all those things that Peter witnessed, and he still denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, But three times, after witnessing and being with Jesus all those years and seeing the miracles, participating in a miracle of walking on water, and he still denied the Christ. But then, something wonderful happened. Something tremendous happened in Peter's life. Jesus told him to go and wait. Wait in Jerusalem until what? Until they received power. Until they received power from on high. You see, Peter didn't have the power in his flesh. He didn't have the natural capacity to stand up and align himself with Jesus when the pressure was on. You don't have the natural capacity to align yourself. It's a supernatural thing. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Just keep that feather in your cap. Peter realigned himself when he had received power of the Holy Spirit. See, when we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit, we realign ourselves with the kingdom of God. When we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to John. Thank you for... We referenced this in growth class this morning. And for all of you that don't know, we have growth class every Sunday morning at 8:30. You should come and partake of that. It's tremendous. And this is a verse that we covered this morning. And sometimes it's, isn't it cool how the Holy Spirit works? I mean, how he just lines things up. And, you know, we don't talk to each other about different things, but yet the Holy Spirit will line things up. And it just flows. It flows. It says in John 16, verse 13 is where I want to start. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, this is Jesus talking, because he will take of, that is receive or draw upon what is mine, and will reveal. He will reveal. He will declare. He will disclose. He will transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. When we trust in, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, amazing things happen. When Peter was endued with power on high, he went out and spoke to the masses, and what happened? 3,000 souls were brought into the kingdom that day under the power. Now, this is the man that just denied Christ not too long ago. But under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 lives were changed that quick. We need to align ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Because when Jesus died, he said, I'll send another. He sent the Comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit. When we rely on that power, lives can be changed. Our life can be changed. The words that we speak are spoken with power. They're not just words anymore. How many know that you can confess and confess and confess and confess, But if it's just empty words, there's no power there. There's no power for change. But when you have revelation of the one inside of you and where the power comes from, it's not you. It's not you. It wasn't Peter that day. It was the power of the Holy Spirit operating in and through Peter that brought the 3,000 souls into the kingdom. So when you align yourself with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, what can you do? What can you do? Just like Jim was saying, 24/7 church, you are the church. You are out there. We say it all the time. You run across people's paths that I'll never meet. I'll never know. But you do. And you have the all-powerful one living on the inside of you that can quicken your mortal mind to speak forth the oracles of God, the exact thing that someone needs to hear in that exact moment to impact their life, to maybe introduce them to Jesus for the first time, or to maybe encourage them to not faint. Amen? Peter began to speak and it pierced their hearts. Then he went on to be the central figure of Christianity until his death. He received a message downloaded directly into his spirit man by the Holy Spirit from Jesus himself. Downloaded into his spirit man by the Holy Spirit. What was that word? Conductor. Holy Spirit was the conductor that brought forth the word that Peter shared that pierced the heart of so many. That power lives and resides in each one of us. Each one of us. You are more powerful than you know, than we understand, than we realize. If we would get revelation of the power that we have to change our world, to change our life, to change others' lives, if we would just grasp that. Hey, I'm the chief of all. My goodness. We walk through this life. We walk in this window of time. And it's a short, but a vapor, window of time. So distracted. So caught off guard. So deceived by the things around us and what we think we need and have to have and even understand. But if we would align ourselves with the Holy Spirit and get revelation, and you know what I mean by revelation. I don't mean head knowledge. I don't mean memorizing the scripture. No, I mean it drops down inside of you. It is revelation that no one could steal from you, no matter what argument comes against it. No one could take it from you. That's the kind of revelation we need to have so that we can wield that power. So that we can be lions in the last day. Right, Reggie? Lions in the last days. I'm here to encourage you today. I'm here to stir you up today about the power that is inside of you. Each one of you, each one of you, each one of us, power to reach out in ways that the other people sitting beside you can't. Because we're all called to one body. But yet we all have different gifts, unique talents. We all know different people. We all have a different sphere of influence. Amen? But it's a supernatural process. It's not some formula. You know, the big, believe me, I've had them too, the 5 points to success in this area and the 7 points here and the 3 points here. And they're great. I think they're great tools to help bring our remembrance to it. But it's not a formula that we're talking about. It's a supernatural process. How did you get born again? There wasn't the 12 steps to getting born again. It was supernatural. Supernatural. But sometimes we get off track, right? We need to get an adjustment, and I'll just give you an analogy. I mean, how many has been to a chiropractor before? I've been to a chiropractor. No shame here. I've done it. When you go to a chiropractor, what do? They give you an adjustment, an alignment. I'm no medical doctor. I don't know anything about it. They say they can align your spine, realign your spine, line up your hips so you walk better, more comfortable. But what happens? Sometimes you got to go back, right? I mean, sometimes that just don't fit the bill. And so you go back, you get another alignment. And it still don't work. Well, all I'm saying in the analogy is we can realign ourselves multiple times, right? It's not a one-time process. See, justification is a one-time process, right? You are born again by the blood of Jesus once and for all, right? Well, sanctification is more of a process, right? If you understand what that is, becoming sanctified, becoming more holy, becoming more in the image of the Christ is a process. We can be realigned back with the Holy Spirit as many times as it takes. As many times as it takes. This is all part of getting a revelation of what we say all the time, who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. So when we pray that Ephesians 1 prayer that we've been praying for almost a year now, that it was really made a focus. When we pray that, have this in your spirit, man, when you pray. Lord, reveal to me who I am in Christ. Who I am in Christ. And I want to tell you, these are all scripture references. If you want them later, I'll be glad to make the handout and get them out to you. And for time's sake, I don't think I'm going to reference each scripture. But I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, who you are in Christ, the power that is inside of you, that each one of you has access to. Listen to these things. Everybody got their ears on? I am complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. There is nothing missing, nothing broken in you. Your body may feel broken, but the Word of God says you are complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I am alive with Christ. Danny Johnson brought that word. Alive. We're to be alive in 2018, right? I am free from the law of sin and death. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. You are far from oppression, and there should be no fear in you. No fear in you. I should be giving these scripture references as I go. But I am born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. 1 John 5. The evil one, the adversary of your soul does not touch you. No more of this, oh, the devil made me do it. No, that is not scriptural. He does not come near you. He does not touch you. I am holy and without blame before Him in love. Ephesians 1. That means, you know, the accuser, what is, another word of the another name for the enemy of our soul, for the devil, is the accuser of the brethren. Constantly accusing the brethren. Constantly. Well, you stand without blame before the Father. I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have peace in God. Philippians 4. I have the greater one living in me. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. 1 John 4. You have the greater one inside of you. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. That powerhouse inside of you is greater than anything in this world can throw at you. Anything that the enemy of your soul can throw at you. Any lie that he can concoct. Because he cannot create anything. All he can do is pervert what has already been created. All he can do is lie to you about what has already been created. I have received a gift of righteousness and reign as a king in life by Jesus Christ. Romans 5. And it was a gift, realize. It's not something you earned. Righteousness, right standing with God, is not something you earned. It was given to you. It was given to you as a gift. I've received the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus and the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Where's that at? Ephesians 1. Y'all better know that one. I have put off the old man and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him who created me. As knowledge, I wrote this, as knowledge is revealed, our image aligns with His. As knowledge is revealed, our image is aligned with His. I have given and it is given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, men give into my bosom. I have no lack, for God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one with my shield of faith. This is who you are in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I show forth the praises of God who has called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am God's child, for I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. I am a new creature in Christ. I am a spirit being alive to God. I am a believer, and the light of the gospel shines in my mind. I am a doer of the word and blessed in my actions. If you do the word, you will be blessed. If you do the word, you will be blessed. I am a joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am a partaker of His divine nature. I am an ambassador for Christ. I am part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. Purchased with His blood. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not my own. We talked about that, being self-centered. You are not your own. You were bought, you were purchased with a tremendous price. And you are not your own. You are not the center of it all. Jesus is the center of it all. Amen? Amen? I am the head and not the tail. I am an above and I am not beneath. I am the light of the world. I am His elect, full of mercy, kindness, humility, and long-suffering. That's who you are. You are full of mercy. You are full of kindness. You are full of humility and long-suffering. I am forgiven all my sins and washed in the blood. I am delivered from the power of darkness and translated into God's kingdom. I am redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. I am firmly rooted built up, established in my faith, and overflowing with gratitude. I am called of God to be the voice of His praise. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places. I am greatly loved by God. You are so loved. Oh, you may not feel it, but we don't go by feeling. The Word says you are loved. You are loved. He loves you. He loves you more than you can even comprehend. If you're a parent, more than you love your children, He loves you. I am strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. I am submitted to God, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in the name of Jesus. I press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. I have received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues. I have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. When you align yourself with the Holy Spirit and that power inside of you, nothing shall harm you. You have power over the all. It says all. All the power of the enemy. No matter what he throws at you, no matter what he says about you, no matter who he brings in accusation against you, you have power over all the power of the enemy. Amen? And nothing shall harm you. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall harm you. These are all things that you are in Christ. But like I said before, you can't just go around quoting them with emptiness, with no knowledge, with no revelation of it. You must believe before you receive. You know, we talked to, I love Smith Wigglesworth. He was introduced at the class this morning, and one of his favorite phrases that I've read several different books about him, but one of his favorite phrases was only believe. Only believe. Only believe. You have to believe before you can receive. You can't just go around quoting with head knowledge, expecting results. You have to believe. You have to have revelation. It has to drop down on the inside of you. You have to know that you know who you are in Christ. And that is where the victory is. Knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing the power. Knowing the power behind our words. You know, we talk about the power of our words, right? Don't we? We're faith people. We believe in the power of our words, the power of our words spoken, because they're either life or death. They have the power to bring both. When we use those words to activate the Holy Spirit to accomplish what His Word says in this earth. That's who we are. That's how powerful we are. And we don't know it. Come on, church. If we really got down and were really honest with ourselves, we don't know it. We do not know the power that resides inside of us. We do not know the power that we have to change our world. And that power is not coming and sitting here every week. We need to do this. I mean, this is all part of the big picture. But the power is out there. Using that power out there to change the world. using that power to change the world. We've got to get a revelation. We've got to come into this new year, to this season, to this moed of understanding this. And not only understanding it, but operating in it. Right? I mean, that banner says harvest. There is a harvest still waiting. It's still waiting. Just when Jesus, you know, the fields are white, but the laborers are few. We're still in that condition. He's waiting. Waiting for the sons of God. Even the earth is groaning and crying out for the sons of God to understand who they are and the power that they have inside of them. I'm preaching to myself here. I'm telling you what. We don't walk in the authority that we have. He's given us everything that we have need of. Everything. It's been done. Jesus said, "It is finished. My work here is done." He has provided us everything that we have need of. We just need to tap into it. Get revelation of it. Remember what I said last? I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes tells us that. It's only new when we discover it. When we search it out in the Word. It's already there. We've got to discover it. We've got to find out. We got to know who we are and start operating in that power. And I don't know how else to do it but to keep, what does it say? Faith comes by and hearing and hearing and hearing. We're going to keep hearing this. I believe this is one of the directions, if you will, for 2018 where He wants us. We're going to keep hearing of the power inside of us, the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives, and we need to operate in that power. Amen. Amen? Amen? Not just here in this room, yes, but we need to take it outside of this room, outside of these four walls. We need to be changing lives. Every day, every day. You are containers taking that power with you wherever you go. But we have a choice, right? We are free will beings. We have a choice whether to operate in that power, whether to gain more knowledge in that area and be transformed from glory to glory, faith to faith, more into the image of Christ. Amen? Was this too heavy? Was this encouraging? I'm telling you, you guys, we are in for some eye hath not seen nor ear has heard the things that God has in store. And I believe it's going to take wonderful, tremendous power to bring in the harvest, that end time harvest. I believe that we are going to have to be encouraged. We're going to have boldness. We're going to have courage ourselves to operate in that power. The courage of the lion. The heart of the lion. The heart of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your words went forth today and pierced our heart, each one of us, exactly where we needed it. And it may have meant something different to one, and it could be something different to the one sitting right beside him, but we all, I believe, have received revelation of your word today, revelation of the Holy Spirit, revelation of the power that dwells inside of us. Holy Spirit, help us continue to speak to us, continue to lead and guide us, continue to show us things to come and show us things that we are to do and how to operate in that power, or I should say with you. With you. We are the church. We are here in this season, this appointed time, as ambassadors. Ambassadors. We have legal authority to carry out the will of God in this earth. And we are to do that. Unashamed, with boldness, knowing that the evil one cannot touch us, cannot harm us. So Lord, thank you. Thank you that we still can come together as a corporate body to be edified and lifted up and encouraged and taught of your word, to have fellowship with one another and to fellowship with you. That's all because of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Y'all should be expectant. I mean, 2018, you should be expectant. You should be expectant not to be doing what we call church as usual. Come expecting, and then every day wake up expecting to God, for God to use you mightily as you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen.